Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. When Haggai wrote of the desire of all nations, he was prophesying about Jesus Christ. Whether people realize it or not, he is the ultimate desire of every human being. Sadly, Jesus is not the desire of this fallen world system or of those whom it has deceived, which includes the consumer-friendly, lukewarm church. This is why Jesus commissioned his true church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation so that his spiritual temple will be finished. Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of Haggai chapter 2.
If you read Matthew chapter 24, verses 25 and 30, that refers to the Great Tribulation. And at the end of the Great Tribulation, Jesus Christ comes in all of his power and all of his glory. And that's when there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. But here's the message. Listen carefully. All of God's activity in the heavens and earth and among the nations right now is moving towards that glorious great end. And that's when Jesus Christ, the desire of all nations, our blessed Lord and Savior, comes to set up his kingdom. You look very enthused. I know. It's raining. It's dreary. And you just got back from a week in Florida. Do you get it? Do you get it? Christ is coming. He's going to shake everything. He's going to shake everything. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And now in verse 10, the second message, dated the 420th day of the ninth month, second year of Darius, that would be December 18th, 520 BC, about 2 months after the first nine verses, the message there. Now listen to this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with this skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priests answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean be a dead by a dead body, touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priests answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer is unclean. Interesting. The Lord's coming, but I'm speaking to you who claim to be my people. Ask the priests for the interpretation from the law. And notice that the people were to ask the priests two questions. One in verse 12 and one in verse 13. And as a result, they would learn that holiness is not communicable, while unholiness is communicable. In other words, let me explain. A healthy person cannot pass on his health to a dying person. But a sick person can pass on their disease to a healthy person. And the law of Moses stated that. You see, the Mosaic law clearly taught that ceremonial cleanliness was not transferable from one person to another, but ceremonial uncleanness was. In other words, all through the study of the ceremonial or the moral law, the general rule was that if you touch somebody or something that is unclean, you become unclean. There is nothing in the law that says if you are healthy and touch someone with leprosy, they will get better. You will get leprosy. So what is he saying here? Well, let me reverse it for a second. The only place in Scripture where this principle of the unclean touching the clean is reversed is with Jesus Christ. When the leper touched Jesus, Jesus didn't become unclean. The leper became clean. When the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years touched Jesus, she was made whole. That woman for 12 years, if she was married, would have been separated from her husband, from her children, from any kind of worship. She was ostracized. In fact, the oral law of the rabbis taught that any reason for a woman to be unclean was because of sexual impurity or immorality. But this woman, after 12 years, believed that if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know I would be made whole. And you know the story? As she moves through the crowd, she touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And his brilliant capital A apostles said, "There's all kinds of people here, and you're asking." Jesus says, "Someone has touched me because virtue has flowed from me." You see, there's people that touch Jesus, but not with their heart. With a ritual. And then there are those who touch Jesus with their heart. And when Jesus touches you, when you come to him by grace through faith, your filthiness and your uncleanness is removed forever. She is the only woman in all four Gospels that Jesus calls daughter. The only one. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. I set you free. Whoa. Whoa. You see, here's what the people of God needed to see. In verse 14, Haggai, after asking these questions and giving the answer, of course, I gave you the New Testament update. If you are unclean or filthy and you touch Jesus, he makes you whole. Haggai said, "So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean." Evidently, the attitude of the people was that mere contact with the temple would make them clean in God's sight, when in fact, inside, they are still filthy and unclean. You see, some people think that if they go to church on a Sunday morning, that's it. It undoes all of their bad doing. No, it doesn't. Sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christian. J. Vernon McGee says, any more than a chicken sitting in a coop, you standing in a chicken coop would make you a chicken. There's no holiness attached with those green chairs or those four walls. And some people think, well, if I just do the work of the Lord, then that's going to make me holy. But doing the work of the Lord doesn't make you holy. Being touched by the Lord of the work on the inside is what makes you holy. It makes what you do acceptable to him. And then in verses 15 through 17, the Lord calls the people to reflect upon their economic situation prior to the start of rebuilding the temple. Things just weren't flowing. Crops weren't producing. They had holes in their pockets. And it seems like they would take two steps forward and three steps backward. And God says, I did that. I allowed that. And in verses 15 through 17, every effort of agricultural misfortune was particularly designed by God to get their attention, that they would say, hey, wait a minute. Something's wrong here. And it's not God, it's me. The Bible says the goodness of God as well as the severity of God, is meant to lead us to repentance. And so to awaken these people, God raised up Haggai. Not much is known about this guy. He is just the voice of God. And they needed to be awakened from their religious excuse-making ruts and start getting down to doing what God called them to do. And in verses 18 and 19, we see that the work of the temple had been started again. And when they got back to doing the work of the temple, that was proof of the renewed devotion to the Lord and their return to a God-centered life. They got back to doing what God called them to do. And the Lord tells them, I want you to mark this day. I want you to mark this day down. I promise that harvest is coming. I promise that I will bless your obedience. He promises them that. And in verse 20, again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai the same date, two prophetic messages in one day. Boy, if they had cable news networks back then, there would have been news flashes. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses, and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. And again, all of this prefigures what will ultimately take place in the battle of Armageddon, when the Lord is going to come back and slay all the nations of the earth. How? With the breath of his mouth. Isn't that incredible? Imagine all of the armies of the world, all of their nukes, all of their hardware. They're against Israel, all nations. They're against Christ and his gospel. And there they are in the valley of Armageddon. Let's get them. Christ comes and he goes, boo! Flattened. Gone. That's power. That's going to happen. You can count on it. You say, when? In a little while. Now, see, you want to know how long's a little while? With the idea of, do I have 2 months, 3 months, 2 hours? 2 years? 2 decades? I mean, I still want to go out and enjoy myself a little bit. I want to have some fun. Tell me when. And then maybe the night before, I'll get on my knees and say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry for everything I did, and I know you're coming tomorrow, so please forgive me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what the message is here? Christ is coming again. Set your house in order. When? In a little while. Right? Wouldn't it be a shame if you came before kickoff? I say that tongue-in-cheek. I don't believe that at all. You see how easy it is to have misplaced affections and misplaced devotion and misplaced passions? Right? Jesus is coming. When? A little while. Yes. And notice in verse 23, and that day, so there is a day. God has a calendar. There is a day. He's got a plan. Now, see, you and I make plans, but many times we don't follow up on our plans. Exercise plans, diet plans, financial plans. How are they working for you? All right. I plan to do this. I plan to do that. I plan to be a better this. I plan to be a better that. And it lasts for maybe whatever. And we think, okay, God makes plans, and then he forgets. Where's that calendar? When am I coming back? Where is it? Help. Raymond, help me. When am I coming? Would you please remind me? In a little while. When you least expect it. So it says, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take of Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, Zerubbabel is listed as a descendant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the ultimate fulfillment of this is Christ. But Jehovah tells Zerubbabel that he was going to make him a signet ring. The signet ring was the ring that was owned by the owner. It was like signing a document. It was like a notary signing. And it meant that that individual had the honor and the authority of the king. And he tells Zerubbabel, go about doing what I've called you to do. I have given you honor. I have given you authority. And when you work in my name, you will be working to honor me and with my authority. And I've chosen you. How would you like to have been Zerubbabel? I've chosen you? If God were to speak to you audibly today, I've chosen you, John, audibly. How would that change your life? Would that give you confidence? Would that give you assurance? How would that affect you in the days ahead when there's trials and tests and temptations and frustrations and you fail? How would that encourage you? I'll bet, John, you would go back, yes, 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 but you chose me before all of that. You would not be moved. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, can have the very same confidence today. Because we, like Zerubbabel, have been chosen by God, and we have been set apart for the Master's use. And when we step out of these doors, we enter into our mission field with the authority that comes in the name of Jesus, and with the power of God, to preach the gospel. 3 points. Haggai talks about building a temple made of stone and wood and gold. But you and I are called temples of the Holy Ghost. That temple was a place where God's glory dwelt. Our temple is to be the place where both God's glory dwells and where he is honored. The point? God's will is that our lives as followers of Jesus Christ be a reflection of the glory of God in all that we say and all that we do, whether we eat or drink. All of life is to be lived for the glory of God. Number two, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. When? In a little while. Put that on your refrigerator. Jesus is coming. When? In a little while. Now remember, it's the evil servant that says, oh, my Lord delays his coming. Maybe he's not. I mean, Pastor Ray, that's a whole lot of time. And he hasn't come yet, but he is coming. We know that. Let me go on public record today with this warning. Jesus Christ is coming again to shake up and judge this pleasure-seeking, Christ-rejecting planet. He is coming again. But our mission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We were redeemed out of this present evil world to live for Christ and to serve him. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 says, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Only a heart touched by the grace of God can serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The point? We prepare for his coming by making his priorities our priorities. We prepare for his coming by giving him the first fruits of everything, of our time, of our talents, of our treasures. And even though we had the overhead slide, volunteers looked for the, Ronald McDonald thing. I understand it, but I want you to know that you will never find the word volunteer used in the Bible when it is associated with the people of God. We're not volunteers, we're servants. I'll volunteer when it's convenient. How many of you know that many times God's schedule and your schedule are not in sync? I don't have time for you. Not now. We serve God with convenience clauses. We were not redeemed to be volunteers for Jesus when it is convenient. We were redeemed to be servants who are set for the master's use. Beloved, honor him, and he will honor you. Seek ye first means seek ye first. Christ is coming. Set your house in order. Lastly, only Jesus can make you whole. Only Jesus can make you whole. Remember when Peter was up on top of the roof and he was given the vision of the unclean things? And Peter says, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And God told Peter, never call what I have made clean common again. Now listen carefully. If you are here this morning and you have yet to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, I've got good news for you. Let me tell you the bad news first. First of all, the bad news is you and me. Secondly, the bad news is religion. Religion will tell you, get your act together, and then Jesus will accept you. Religion will tell you, get your act together, clean up your life first, and then you can serve him and witness for him. Do not believe a word of it. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care how unclean you are, how filthy you are or have been. If your heart is broken because of your sin and you come to Christ with a broken and a contrite heart, he will make you clean and he will use you. Believe that? The desire of all nations will not only save you, he will make you whole. And he will use you as a witness of his saving grace in a lost and dying world. Amen? Amen? Real short testimony here. Then we'll close. I can recall when Christ saved me. And maybe some of you don't know this, but I was a professional rock and roll musician. Yeah, my hair was dark, like yours. I was about your age. And one day, I was unclean. And that next weekend, I'm passing out tracts for Jesus Christ. I didn't know about the four spiritual laws. I didn't know about this. I didn't know about that. All I knew is that I was made whole. And you know what? People got saved. And the religious people said, you can't do that. That's not proper. Well, you sit in the sidelines and throw your fiery darts. I'm going to be about my dad's business. God can use you. And if you're here today and you've been places that you ought not to have been, you wonder, will God use me? Yes, come forward, pray, and just touch Christ, and he'll make you clean and use you. You'll be better than ever. Amen? Amen.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you made any New Year's resolutions yet? Surveys say that most New Year's resolutions last less than 2 weeks. How does one achieve lasting personal improvement? God's Word tells us not to conform to the world around us. Instead, we are to allow His Word to transform us by changing our hearts and renewing our minds. Our goal is to behave as if we had the mind of Christ. We at Koinonia Fellowship would like to help you achieve lasting spiritual transformation. We invite you to join us in the coming year as we worship Jesus, study God's Word, and grow in Christ together.
Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning. Due to the holiday, there will be no service on Wednesday night. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.